from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Bring back the old comedy of the 80s and 90s, Ursula. I'm here for it. I'm talking about bringing the stuff that's not PC, remove all the filters. I just keep thinking about last night and what I was doing watching the Tom Brady comedy roast. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning. You're still thinking about it.
In fact,
you're thinking about it so much, you're going to talk about it coming up at 9:47.
Absolutely. I have a reason. We need comedy back. It was back. So much so, this is where you and I will agree to disagree. Because I bet you like the PC stuff.
I have a certain limit as to what I find funny.
Okay.
Yes, I absolutely do. I'll tell you what else we need.
Good day, sunshine.
Hello, look at it outside.
This your weather. Anytime it's nice out.
Beautiful.
I know you like this.
And then on top of that, did you hear we're going to have our first 80-degree day come this Saturday?
Come on!
First 80-degree day of the year?
Yes!
Yes, are you ready?
Yeah!
I'm ready. Anyway,
what we got
we're
going
in a great
today?
Mood. Well, coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, you heard the zebra that the Western Washington's zebra influencer.
Right?
The Seattle Times used that phrase. I was like, you know, that zebra has become the most famous zebra in the world. Anyway, we're going to talk to our friend, the former rodeo clown, who helped capture that final zebra. So he's going to join us in the 10 o'clock hour.
And I have the G. Scott reason as to why the zebra did get caught. That fair?
Okay.
My reason.
Sounds good. Well, we're going
to
get into it here in the top stories.
All right. Top news stories of the day brought to you by Way Scarf 40 Susu and Armor.
Okay. The most famous zebra in the world is back home in Montana after being loose in North Bend for nearly a week. After dozens of calls to 911 reporting sightings, the mare named Sugar, or Shug for short, was captured on Friday night. And Kelly Merker tells Fox 13 she was delighted to have a visit from Shug last Thursday.
The zebra was in my driveway. The dog started barking yesterday morning, and I said to my husband, go see if it's the zebra. And he said, it is the zebra. So we called 911, but by the time the cops came, it was gone.
So if you missed it, Shug's owner was moving the zebras from Lewis County to Montana when she stopped near the North Bend exit on I-90 to fix a problem with her trailer. Four zebras bolted to their freedom, but three were recaptured within a few hours. And then now, after 6 days of wandering around, Shug was spotted and captured in the River Bend community on Friday night. North Bend Mayor Mary Miller says the capture went off without a hitch.
The group of wranglers weren't from the community, but they just jumped in, and the professionals, and they knew what to do, and they worked as a team.
So while some reports question the handling of that zebra, Mayor Miller says, you know what? They took really good care with Shug.
That was very gentle and very relaxed. We weren't dragging fencing. We weren't making noising. We were heavy lifting and moving things around. So I'm not that strong, but I learned some new skill sets along the way.
So an investigation is underway now into this whole incident, and the owner could face fines once it's done. So I want to ask all of you listening right now in UG, should the owner face fines?
No. No. Absolutely not. I mean, this is something that I think that the taxpayers can come out and take care of. I think we understand. I think that the zebra, by the way, I didn't know that zebra's name was Shug. Mm-hmm. So for sure, I believe the zebra's black with white stripes. Shug, like Shug Avery from The Color Purple. Anyways, I don't think that anybody can fault this zebra or the owner. Because the zebra.
It's not the zebra's fault.
But the zebra just got out of hand. And the zebra thought that they wanted to stay in Washington and did not want to go to Montana because they thought that the policies and the liberal and the policies there weren't going to be good enough for them. So they wanted to stay in Washington. And what they ended up doing is they stayed for a while and they realized that the policies here in the state of Washington, they wanted to get away from.
Okay. Well, but in reality, the owner didn't take care of these animals. The animals got loose. There was a cost associated with trying to recapture them.
Yeah.
And so the question is, I mean, personally think...
You think they should get a fine?
No.
Okay.
I personally think, because I think that zebra brought so much joy. think about every single meme that has come, every single company. I think the zebra, quite frankly, as an influencer, should be getting royalties for the number of times that zebra was seen at the grocery store, casinos, the Mariners game. That zebra was everywhere.
The Seahawks put memes out there. Everybody was trying to utilize the zebra. Now to come to find out that this whole time this zebra's name was Suge?
Yeah.
No Diddy. You know what I mean? Like, Suge Knight doesn't like P. Diddy, right? It's like, there's all kinds of things. Like, to find out, I can't believe this late in the game we're finding out the zebra's name is Suge. I just found out 2 minutes ago. I didn't know.
I want to know what Suge was up to for those 6 days. So, again, former rodeo clown David Danton is going to be joining us in the 10 o'clock hour to talk about what it took to get that final zebra back home. Okay, do you remember this Seattle police officer?
Yeah, just write a check. $11,000. She was 26 anyway. She had limited value.
That is Daniel Otterer, the SPD officer caught joking about the death of a student who was struck and killed by another cop. He made national headlines after this body cam audio captured him making the comments about the death of 23-year-old John V. Kandula, who was hit while in a crosswalk.
But she is dead.
Okay, so again, Otterer is vice president of SPD Guild, the police union. He was speaking to the president of the guild, Mike Solon, after that crash that killed Kandula. And we're learning now that Otterer is one of two officers from the Seattle Police Department who will be speaking at a national traffic safety conference in Washington, D.C. He's apparently going to be leading a workshop on how to do effective interviews at crime scenes. So why him when he has so much notoriety and could still potentially be fired over this incident? Mm-hmm. So now SPD has released a statement to Fox 13 saying that Daniel Otterer is not representing the department at the conference, and SPD is not paying for costs associated with the event. SPD says Otterer never informed them that he was traveling to this conference.
So is SPD saying that if I want to fly to D.C. myself and get up and speak on behalf of the Seattle Police Department, I can do that? Is that what they're saying? Whether or not they pay for the travel or not, he, Daniel Otterer, is representing the city of Seattle. He is representing SPD. And I'm just, look, this, I hope at some point, because I've realized that the news, especially the news coming from you, the top five news stories, has consistently involved news from SPD. What in the world is going on over there? It's almost like you're doing this on purpose. Somebody is just like, listen, we have to give everyone ridiculous things to talk about because this is ridiculous. And you would think that there would be one person to say, hey, I don't think it's a good idea for Daniel Otterer to represent us over there.
Yeah, and one of the difficulties for us is... Chef, did we reach out? Because we were talking this morning about trying to reach out to SPD to try to get information. And right now, the department is in a bit of a mess. We talked about it last week where one of the head of the public affairs unit, which is the unit that gives us in the media our comments and information, he is under fire right now because he is the subject of a pending lawsuit filed by four women who claim sexual harassment and discrimination. And there are other things, as we've been reporting, going on with SPD. So I can't get other than this statement that was issued to Fox 13. But to say, well, he's not representing the department, the whole purpose of him being there to talk about it is his experience as an officer. You can't separate that he works for SPD. So I want to know, does that mean, did he violate another policy? Mm-hmm. He's already been reassigned to low profile office duties while the Office of Police Accountability is investigating multiple complaints about him. Seattle police commanders have already recommended that he be punished with at least 30 days off without pay or be fired because of that audio on that body cam video. And we were supposed to get an update because Chief Diaz was supposed to have a disciplinary hearing on March 4th. And I couldn't find out if that actually happened or if that has been postponed. So again, there's a lot of question about this particular officer, and I don't know. You got to be tone deaf to think that I've got this hanging, but I'm going to go ahead and talk at a conference.
What does that say? I mean, it's the reminder, Chef, you brought this up, when Auburn Police Department put Officer Jeff Nelson, who's currently right now on trial for murder, on one of their recruiting posters, right? And you know, they came out then and said, we didn't mean to do that.
Like,
but what is...
Lack of oversight and being tone deaf. That's what it points out to me.
I'll say that. Before we move on, and I hope someone at SPD is really listening to this. There is already a belief that the Seattle Police Department does not, or police departments in general, don't care about the opinions of sometimes the public. This is not all the men and women that are out there that do this. I'm just talking about as an organization, as a company. And so when you have Daniel Auderer, whether he's doing it on his own dime, period, when you have them see this, that he is going to represent SPD out in Washington, D.C., it confirms that narrative that people already have. And they think, you just don't care. And so when that happens, you have to continue to try to do so many other things. So you do.
Yeah. Whether or not they approved it, it still is a reflection of SPD. And I think they need to address it.
Yeah.
Okay. The city of Edmonds is now investigating its police chief, Michelle Bennett, after she accidentally fired her service weapon in her car. A police spokesman says the chief was not handling her holstered weapon at the time. She was actually trying to get something from the bag it was stored in while she was stopped to gas up at a city fleet refueling facility. So apparently a key had become wedged between the trigger guard and space in the holster, and that's how the gun fired. No one was injured. That's important to note. Chief Bennett quickly informed her on-duty commander, who started the investigation. The assistant chief was also notified, as well as the mayor, Mike Rosen. The chief filled out a damage report. She apparently also sent a message out to the entire staff, advising them of the incident and encouraging firearms awareness and care and caution. But here's the rub. Under state law, an officer who engages in unsafe practices involving firearms can lead to denial, suspension, or revocation, depending on the severity of the incident. So what should happen in this case?
Nothing. I'll tell you what should happen. I have the utmost respect for this chief. I have the utmost respect. Listen to what Ursula just said. She informed the on-duty commander right away. She also, later on, she sent a message to the entire staff advising them of the incident, also encouraging firearms. She didn't try to get away from it. She didn't try to say, no, that didn't happen. She came right out, was in front of it. I messed up. I made a mistake. I'm accountable.
Agree.
You know what?
I agree.
Give me this officer. That's what I want for law enforcement.
Yeah, I agree. What else could she do? It sounds like it was an accident. Now, again, you do have to ask, and it is a bad look. But I think following a mistake, she owned up to it. She did everything that she was supposed to. She didn't try to hide it. She tried to use herself as a lesson to others. Unless we're missing something, I would say
tip of the cap.
You know what I'm surprised by in this, digging into the story, is the Glock 22 is the most popular service weapon for police agencies around the country. We think of guns as having a safety, like a little switch that you slide to make it so that the gun can't fire, or turn it on and it can. The Glock 22 has a trigger safety. So if you have like a set of keys in your purse, and those keys become lodged between the trigger and the trigger guard, I could absolutely see how this would happen incredibly easily.
Wow.
And I question whether keeping a gun like that with a trigger safety in a purse is a safe place to put it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Coming on the heels of the story that you just talked about, and then now you're telling me a story of where law enforcement is like, hey, I'm accountable. I messed up. I do everything the right way. Kudos to that person. And that's why you got the job.
Happens to be the police chief.
Yep.
The original Starbucks store at Pike Place Market in Seattle is closed after it was reportedly vandalized on Friday night, and that closure has left some tourists disappointed.
We came to see the original Starbucks, and unfortunately, it's not open. Of course, you're going to Seattle, and you're going to want to, you know, this is Seattle, so it's kind of sad. I love Starbucks.
King 5 News also spoke with David Kikau, who is visiting Seattle from Hawaii.
I came a long way for nothing, but it's okay. I understand. Well, in Hawaii, we have Starbucks, and we hang out there, we study there, we meet there. And I bought stocks in it a while ago, and I always wanted to see where it started.
Now, Starbucks says, fortunately, the store was closed at the time. All employees and customers were safe. The store opened in 1971, so it has become a very popular tourist attraction, and the company says it does plan to reopen it very soon.
Tell Ursula.
As I'm reading this, though, my question was, what is more surprising, that a Starbucks, this particular one, was vandalized again, or that a Starbucks, this particular one, is still a popular tourist attraction?
You know, Ursula, there comes a time where I can just admit to the world when I'm disappointed in you.
And today is it?
Today's it.
I don't get the big allure of the original Starbucks and why people line up.
It's not just that, but this take that you have is something that our listeners are used to hearing from me. But the fact that you actually get on and say you don't see why the original Starbucks is a tourist attraction really shocks me.
Okay, and that you would wait in line for it. You, G. Scott, who never waits in line for anything, you would wait in line to see the original Starbucks where you can get the same old coffee that you get everywhere else. Okay, this is my take on this one. When it comes to tourist attractions in Seattle, and we have many, the ones that I don't get, and I want you guys to weigh in on our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Which tourist attractions do you not get, and which ones you think, okay, yeah, for sure. Because for me, it's the original Starbucks. For me, it's also the Fremont Troll. I mean, every time I drive by that, or I'm on a thing, and I'm like, what is the big deal about this dang Fremont Troll? And then the other one is the Gum Wall. It's like gross.
Yeah, okay. And that Space Needle, overrated.
Oh, no. Space Jeez. Needle, love. Pike Place Market, Museum of Pop Culture.
But it costs.
Seattle's International
it
District.
It costs crazy amount of money to do some of those things. These are free things.
Not to drive by, it doesn't. Well, you're not going to get out of the Starbucks, original Starbucks, without buying an overpriced coffee drink. Come on. How about Chihuly Garden, Seattle Art Museum, Arboretum, Museum of Flight. Those are all big yeses. We have so many. Ballard Locks. It's free.
Because the original Starbucks. First of all, Starbucks has been good to some of us. Starbucks has been a place, a free meeting spot, a free date, a date spot. You know what I mean? Like,
do you
Starbucks
get excited,
has really
though, seeing the oh my gosh, this is where it all started. It looks no different than the other ones.
Yeah. No, you would definitely want to see the original.
Texas.
The same way you want to go see, oh, this is where so-and-so was born at. You're like, but that person hasn't lived there in 100 years. Don't matter. They lived there one time. If Michael Jackson's home was here in Seattle, it'd be cool to see. I'm so shocked with you.
I'm probably going to get just lit up here. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
No, actually.
What do you say?
Actually, a lot of people are on your side.
The reality is, it sounds really romantic. Oh, I'm at the original Starbucks. You wait in line. It's like, well, okay, what was that for?
And by the way, I think the gum wall is nasty, but I still want to see it.
And have you? How long have you lived here, G? Have you seen the gum wall?
Never.
Yeah, thank you.
Coming up next. You guys remember last week we talked about Andy's Fish House up there in Snohomish, about whether or not they should get that permit or not? We got some more update of news on that next. G. Nursel.
This is the G and Ursula Show. Happy, beautiful Monday to all of you. And if you are in the vicinity of the city of Snohomish, it would be hard to miss this big tent that is part of Andy's Fish House. It's a very popular restaurant. And even though there have been all sorts of pleas for the city to keep the outdoor dining tent there open, the city says it is an unpermitted structure and it has to go. So we talked about it last week. One of the co-owners was making the rounds on media trying to sell his case for why it should be allowed to stay up, including the fact that it is one of the reasons why they employ so many people there, because it has expanded their ability to serve even more customers with this outdoor structure. Now, the Herald is reporting that more than 6,000 people signed a petition to keep the tent open, but the city administrator says they can't allow it. It's against local code, state code, international building code, and they say it just cannot be done. So just a reminder to everybody, during COVID, there were temporary unpermitted outdoor structures that were allowed because it was an emergency situation and they were trying to do everything to keep businesses open. But that's over. The emergency was declared over, and other businesses have also had to pack up. Andy's is going to have until July 5th, or the owners will face fines of $1,000 a day. And Braun Journey is the co-owner of Andy's, and he told King 5 that the tent more than triples their dining capacity.
There are times when city codes do not make sense.
Okay. So I recall that you were in favor of the city, even though obviously, you know, this has been great for the business. A rule is a rule, I think, was your idea.
Yeah, rule is a rule. The old saying is better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. I subscribe to that. One of the biggest reasons why in 2003 I didn't go to the front door of the Seattle Seahawks. I went in the back, right? Like, I wasn't going to go there. Hey, can I come and try to clean you guys' cars? They would have said no. Then what, right? And so I understand that part of it. I also look at it like this. What would be so different if this establishment does what the Snohomish Barber did back in 2020? Remember when he defied the orders and says, you know what? I'm going to just open up anyway. I don't care about the fines. You know, I remember we used to platform that guy here on this radio station. Those, the barber down there, the diner down there. I'm bringing that up to say this. I'm a little jaded when it comes to businesses getting fined, because some people are able to get away with the whole fines and keep doing business as usual, and some people aren't. The city has made a rule. They said you can't do it, and you would think that by July 5th, they will take that structure down. Will they? I don't know.
So I'm hoping, and I'm reading through a Seattle Times article on this too, and I'm hoping that they can come up with some kind of solution, because I was initially in favor of this restaurant saying, look, you know, can't they work something out? I think there would be some kind of compromise and work on getting a permit, maybe shut down the tent while you're working to get that permit, because the owner says it costs $25,000 to put this thing up. If they have to just rip it down only to put it back up again after they get the permit, that feels like a waste of money just to deal with bureaucracy. But maybe there's some kind of compromise where you can shut it down until you get the permitting. Just don't use it as a place for people to dine.
Sure.
And then get the proper permitting, which is the main issue. Now, some people have also taken it too far, and they're now calling the city. And I think, did I see that there were people even threatening the city because of the actions that it's taken? I get the passion behind a restaurant, but
what are they going to do?
Can we just knock that crap off?
What is anyone going to do to the city if they continue with that? This place, Andy's Fish House, has to take the structure down. Ain't nothing you can do.
Well, and the other part is, he was also aware that, so the owners were aware of what the rules were. This was a temporary situation. No one said it could be permanent. And they'd started off, I think, with a smaller tent and then realized, no, we can make an even bigger tent. And then they went for this one that is more expensive. The city is saying, you know, there are some grants that other businesses have applied for that you could apply to as well. Again, I hope that they can come up with some kind of compromise, because it seems like it would be this big fat waste to just pull it down only to put it back up.
Well, okay. What would make, outside looking in, what would make someone want this to be a compromise? Like, what would be the difference in someone else doing the same thing?
Well, you would have to lose some business temporarily. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's what the owners want. I think the owners want to just keep it as business as usual. And hey, let's just make an exception with this. And the city's saying we cannot make an exception because this does not meet code.
Look, I understand why permits are necessary. I understand why code is necessary, but show me the problem, right? Like, the city has not even come in to inspect the tent. So what is the problem? The fact that it is against city code, and that is the only thing. There's nothing to say that this is a dangerous structure. And the simple fact is, it costs millions to open a new business. It costs a ton of money to build new homes because of all of the codes and the amount of permitting that goes on with every single building these days. Yes. So you can't build stuff on a shoestring anymore.
But the days, I get that, and I think there's way too much bureaucracy. But think about what's happening in places like Florida, where there are buildings that are coming down, or let's just say something catastrophic happened at this particular restaurant, and then it turns out, oh, we didn't even have a permit for this structure, and the tent flattened. I don't even know if that's physically possible, but let's just say that happened. That's the whole reason for, I mean, I wish I could have built our remodel. I mean, everything was great.
I'm going to guess the sales tax revenue from those 80 additional seats would be enough to cover insurance of any liability of that happening.
So if they say, if the city allows them, Ursula, and says yes, would that be a new precedent set in Snohomish County?
Well, that's the other thing. Then every business is going to say, well, you did it for Andy's. Why do I need to go through all this? I'm going to go ahead and build a tent. Oh, one other thing.
You would be a
fool. One other thing. You know how you like, what do you call that? The neighborhoods with the covenants. You like living in
HOA.
HOAs. Yeah. Yeah, you like HOAs.
Okay.
So in the city of Snohomish, there are also rules about plastic and you know, they have a certain character that they want to sustain in the city of Snohomish.
It's the aesthetic.
It's the aesthetic, and I think this tent does not fit that aesthetic as well. So, again, if everyone decides we're going to be, and I'm sympathetic to Andy's, but if everyone decides, hey, they can build this big fat tent, why can't I?
We just have to go through one more pandemic for other businesses to do that.
I'll move on and say this. If they say yes for Andy's Fish House, I'd imagine there's a bunch of folks that are waiting for that and saying, let me go ahead. I'll ask for forgiveness rather than permission. I'll be waiting to do that.
Okay. And Rich, who sounds like he knows what he's talking about, they inspect for snow load, wind, foundation, and strength of material.
All right. Hey, coming up next, something happened last night, and I think that it was one of the best things that's happened and is actually something that can unite America. And it was a comedy roast. That's right. I believe that's so. We do that next. Generation. Everybody, happy Monday. We will have the zebra wrangler on our show coming up at 10 o'clock. We're going to find out how he did it, what he did, what happened, all that stuff. You want to stay right here because you know some of your friends that live out of town are asking you, hey, what's going on with the zebra? Well, you get to find out and hear who caught the last zebra. That's going to be happening next. Now, Ursula, I'm going to warn you, okay? When I talk about this topic, I'm not going to sound like myself. You and others are going to say, I cannot believe G is talking this way. So I'm warning you.
Okay. I'm ready.
Bring back the comedy of the 80s and 90s. Back when comedy was good. Back when it was funny. Former NFL quarterback Tom Brady was roasted on Netflix last night. It was intense. It was hilarious. It was cringe. It was raunchy. It was awesome. You know the setup. The person being roasted sits on a stage and a parade of people come up to do their worst. Drew Bledsoe, who was replaced by Tom Brady in New England, acknowledges his career didn't turn out as well as Tom's. Here's a clean version of the night.
Buddy, you know, you have more rings than I do, but I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. You know, the feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. And a 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
Ouch. Now, we just gave you a clean version.
That's the cleanest.
That was the cleanest of the night. Ursula, Lillian and I were watching this last night, and since we've been together, I don't think we've watched anything that has made us laugh so hard. And then when I was done, I took to Twitter, like, or X, whatever you want to call that dang old thing, and I got on there and I said, please bring back comedy of the 80s and 90s. I asked Nick during a break who was his favorite comedy of all time, and he said Tommy Boy and Uncle Buck with John Candy. And if you're listening right now, if I were to ask you what your favorite comedy is, like what's something that you just like, oh my goodness, one of the funniest ever, I bet you whatever that comedy is, it was made 25, 30 years ago plus. Mm-hmm. Because today we have a bunch of committees that sit there and you can't say that. And I just got off the phone with the ACLU and they don't want you to say that. And,
you oh, don't you, say you don't think good comedy still exists?
No, no, it's not funny. No, it is not funny.
Was Chris
anymore.
Rock funny? What, you didn't you watch Chris Rock?
Yeah, and he said some things that were a little out of bounds. Dave Chappelle said some things that are kind of out of bounds. And I just think that some of the comedy that's happening right now is just watered down. No, it's no more of the Richard Pryors. You, I mean,
after a while, though, all that raunchy comedy, this is in my opinion, became not funny. And in fact, I was reminded of it. I went to watch David Spade in Vegas, you know, what 6 months ago?
Yeah.
And one of his opening, the first opening act mm-hmm. was really good, unknown person.
Okay.
And then the next one was Nikki Glaser, who was actually there last night. And you said she was hysterical. I have never been so disgusted by a comedian as I was with her on that stage. I and everyone in my group, especially the women, when you think of things like domestic violence and gang rape and just the worst things about society, and you think they're funny and they're part of your joke routine. I was so uncomfortable. It was not funny. I mean, people were just, there was just a smattering of laughter.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand why she was allowed to be on stage. And then I found out that actually she's very popular.
She's hilarious. Last night reminded me, and I said it on with Dave Ross and Colleen this morning. I said it to you guys. It reminds me of All in the Family. It reminded me of Archie Bunker. It reminded me of back then how important that, I can't believe they just said that, was good for America. And sometimes, man, I think we have become, and that's what, this is the part where you guys are going to be like, I can't believe G's talking like this. We've become so PC. We've become, you got to watch what you say.
I know, but one of the people who reacts to so much of that is the strongest is you in my life. The things that are offensive that people say, you have opened my eyes to things that are offensive, that things that I was blind to. Yeah.
But okay.
And so now you're saying you want to go back to.
Wait, of all the people in your life, though, when we're not on the microphone, who might say some things from time to time to have you just like, oh, right? Like
you.
The things, right? like, okay. Like put PC aside, put all the filter aside. Some of the funniest things and conversations that we all have are things that we cannot have on social media. Let's keep it a buck, everybody. Funny's funny. Even some of the raunchiest things that you're not supposed to laugh at and you do laugh at, it's hilarious. And Nikki Glaser last night?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I didn't watch. So Cody in the 360 says, comedy is not for you, Ursula. My wife thought she was the funniest one on the night. She apparently did really well last night. And maybe she wasn't joking about things like gang rape and domestic violence, which she did on the stage.
I mean,
when I was just like, people were talking about how bad that comedy was that night.
They went after Aaron Hernandez, who's no longer living anymore. And Aaron Hernandez's fiance has now taken to social media, and she's saying, I'm trying to raise a child in this cruel world. I can't believe they did that last night.
Yeah.
To which I wrote back, are you really talking about a cruel world? It was your fiance that took the lives of others. You know what I mean? But anyway, I just like raunchy stuff on comedy. And it just made me think, like, you know, cringe stuff that we're not supposed to be saying. All right. The Wrangler. the Zebra Wrangler, joins us next. Gene Ursula.